Yes, sir.
Committee ready? Ready, Kathy? All right. Y'all ready, Brad, Eric? Good morning and welcome to the Transportation Committee of Mount Pleasant Town Council for Tuesday, September the 1st. How about that? I am so glad to see the month of August gone. One thing I do want to mention, I want to thank our staff. I want to thank our police department and everybody that was involved with the great remembrance we did last night about overdose awareness. We have lost, and some of us know personally, people we have lost in our community to overdose, to addiction, especially opioids. But yesterday was proclaimed Overdose Awareness Day in the town of Mount Pleasant. That's what those purple lights are out there for. The media, some of whom are here today, gave us good publicity about that, because if you've been to our community, our children, or any of the other events that go on with Wake Up Carolina, and with our police department being a leader in the state on how to deal with addiction and deal with overdose, as opposed to punishing people, but to fix the underlying problems, it speaks well for our community. So it was just neat driving up today and seeing the lights still out there in the remembrances. So Eric, thanks to your staff and you for all y'all did for that and to Wake Up Carolina. Our agenda is before you this morning. Item number 2 is approval of the minutes from our August 4th meeting. Do we have a motion?
Move for approval, Mr. Chair.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right. The minutes are approved. Item number 3 is public comments. A couple of things I want to say before we get into this meeting, especially the Highway 41 point. And this will help sort of set the tone for public comments and anything like that. The purpose of this meeting today is for council, the Transportation Committee of Council, to see what the county has been working on, what their preferred alternative is, and to hear the aspects of that. Officially, the town has not heard. I got to sit in a preview meeting, not sure why, but I appreciate that I was. But this is for the Transportation Committee, and this is informational. A lot of what will be seen today is brand new to this committee. We are not voting on anything today. What we're doing is we are discovering what we need to know down the way. I know the section that goes through the Phillips community seems to be getting a lot of press, but there are many more miles of this and many more thousands of people who are represented by those of us who sit up here today. So it's to present, for us to get information, for us to discover what questions we have, and many of those can't be answered in one day. And we want to develop that list and of the pertinent info that we need to see as a town. I want to also remind everybody that the public comment that the county is running goes through the 11th, yeah. Is that correct? And so you're welcome to make public comment today, and we will listen. But where it really counts right now, and where it gets indexed, and where it gets accounted for and made officially, is when you make it through the county. So you're welcome to comment here today. But where it's going to have the most impact, however you feel, is with the county. And y'all will be giving where to do that. I think it's highway41sc.com. Did I get that right? Yep. From memory, I am terrible with website addresses. highway41sc.com. So if you feel passionate in any way about this, please don't just speak here today in public comment. That'll go in our minutes and it'll go in our heads, but it'll go to the county if you do it officially there, and there will be another record of that. And there were a couple of other things. What we will do is we will receive that information and be given that and have access to it, just like everybody else will down the road. The town is not at any decision-making point, nor is it really our project, as I'm sure everybody knows. So at the end, what we will hope to have is questions that we have. If you want to go ahead with public comment now, please do. I just want to let everybody know, when y'all do the presentation, we're going to come around and look at it on the big screen. These are nice, but for a project this big, these tablet-sized screens aren't quite the best way to view something like that. I think, and if we can keep decorum and all afterwards, if there are some questions afterwards for the presenters, as opposed to the town council members up here, there might be a time for y'all to ask some questions or either say, here's a question I have, and we'll let the county answer those at the time and in the manner they feel best if it's not right here today. So does that sound good to everybody?
Yes.
Public comment. If you would like to comment at this phase, please come forward, give your name and address. 2 minutes. I don't have a timer on me, but if somebody would help time. Hello, George.
Hello.
Good to see you.
Don't worry, I'm real quick today. I'm mainly here today. Oh, let me say, my name is George Freeman, 1450 Bowman Road, Director of Community Activity for CAGE. I'm really here today because I'm disappointed that I was not allowed to make a presentation here today about possible traffic solutions in the town of Mount Pleasant. So therefore, because of that, I'm here to request a formal response from the town as to why I was not allowed to present possible solutions on traffic conditions in the town of Mount Pleasant, especially since I'm a citizen of Mount Pleasant. My address is Post Office Box 455, Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, zip code 29465. Thank you.
Thank you, George. Next. Anyone else? All right, we're closing public comment.
Yeah, you've got one.
Oh, you're commenting. Okay. Sorry, Gary.
Briefly.
I thought you were coming to sit and watch as a council member. Go right ahead and make a comment.
That's okay.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning, committee. I just want to comment on number five real quick and just say that our recreation committee is going to be looking at phase three of the waterfront park and the different things that that we have come and asked council members what they wanted to see out there, and they put together really a nice plan. There's some good things going on, and I just want to make sure the committee waits on doing anything, moving any funds until we see what the cost is going to be for our parks, since those TIF funds were dedicated to the waterfront park. I want to make sure that everybody, you know, let's look at phase three, see what's going to come out of phase three, what the recreation committee is going to recommend to council before we shift any funds and do anything. If there are funds left over, I have no problem with shifting them all over there, wherever y'all would like, but I want to make sure that we fund the recreation project first. It's been there for a long, long time. We need to go ahead and get it done, and if there are funds left over, then I have absolutely no problem with shifting it over. Thank you.
Thank you, Q. Last call, public comments.
Howdy.
Yes, sir. Name and address, please. Hang on a second while we do some COVID precautions. Thank you, Martine.
I'm Fred Smalls. I live at 2959 Elijah Smalls Road. I was born and raised in the Phillips community. And we pose the question that why there are other alternatives to widening the highway except through 41, except through our community. There is other alternatives. Alternative 7A is a viable option. Alternative 7A will accomplish everything that the Transportation Department is trying to do with the traffic problem. And there would be no negative effects to any community. Phillip, Park West, Dunes West. It would also create that third turning lane in the Phillips community. But these options are being taken off of the table. And some of the reasons we're giving for this is that we don't want to destroy homes going through Park West, Dunes West. That's not necessarily true, because there is an easement and a right-of-way for the four-lane highway through Park West, Dunes West, which is Park West Boulevard. So that option is very viable. And we ask you to relook at this. And some of the things you're talking about coming through the Phillips community, you're destroying homes, moving families. But that would not happen with alternative 7A.
Thank you, Mr. Smalls. Anyone else? Public comments. All right. This brings us to item number four, presentation by Charleston County regarding Highway 41 alternatives. And there's a history with the town and some things that were discussed and requested in the past. So we'll touch on those as well. I take it y'all are going to be rolling the video presentation. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right. If y'all will introduce yourselves, and then committee members will go around and sit out there and watch.
There you go. So maybe we'll just do it this way. All right. Can everybody hear me okay?
You can take your mask off if you like.
Is that all right?
Thank you for that, Mr. Mayor, because it, you know, my glasses fog up, you know, I'm gonna get disoriented. Appreciate the appreciate that a lot. So we're very happy to be here today, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the committee, also other members of council that are here today, and of course the public. My name is Rhett Rodenbach. I work with a company called Revere Group. We're a local engineering-based company. We are on the HDR consultant team. HDR is the lead engineer that's developing the NEPA process, developing the alternatives. We are working directly for Charleston County. The one thing I want to clear up is Charleston County has not made a decision on this yet. What we're talking about is what the consultant team has developed through the NEPA process is what is the preferred recommended alternative. We have a lot of steps still yet to go before there's a decision between 1 or 7A or some other alternative that may come out from additional discussion that we may have from this point forward. So I want to set that expectation that there's still a process that we're going through. And today we've got a number of things that we want to do. We got a lot to cover in a little bit of time. I've got like 40 slides here, and if I time those right, that means I got 30 seconds per slide. So we're going to try to go through this fairly quickly. But the objective more than anything today is to make sure that members of the Phillips community, members of the public, council members have good information that's accurate, that reflects what's currently in the environmental assessment, that really separates why one is being preferred or recommended over 7A, and helps everyone form their opinion on what is the best thing for the community and for the region. So the topics of the discussion today, real quickly, we're gonna go through the overall preferred alternative. Like the mayor alluded to, we got a 6-minute, 20-second video that the county's put together with HDR's help that kind of goes through the project overall. We're gonna dig into a bit of the screening process, because I know there's been a lot of talk about how, you know, what all was studied, at what point during the process, and then why we're with 1 and 7A. So we'll talk a little bit about the screening and why we got where we are today. And then we're gonna do a really detailed comparison of alternative 1 versus 7A. And this is a lot of the newer information, I think, Mr. Mayor, that you alluded to earlier, that really no one's had the benefit of, I think, really sitting down and being able to study. So we can really show what the Phillips community impacts are, what the Dunes West impacts are, the Park West impacts are, the Laurel Hill County Park impacts are. We're going to summarize those and quantify them, and then ultimately talk about the mitigation and the things that are currently in the draft mitigation plan, and hopefully the engagement we have with the community moving forward. So the next step, let's turn it on to the video and let's kind of watch what's online.
Charleston County has partnered with the Town of Mount Pleasant and the South Carolina Department of Transportation to improve roadway capacity and ease traffic congestion along Highway 41. As part of the National Environmental Policy Act process, or NEPA, the project team has conducted an extensive analysis of the corridor to identify potential design alternatives. These studies include future traffic projections, noise levels, environmental resources, and cultural resources. The project team also considered the input provided by public agencies, stakeholders, and you, the local community. Over the past few years, the project team studied a range of alternatives to address current and future traffic congestion along Highway 41. Based on the criteria outlined in NEPA, Alternative 1 is recommended as the proposed alternative to move forward into final design and construction. When comparing the detailed traffic and environmental analyses, input from stakeholders and agencies, as well as construction and overall project costs, Alternative 1 best meets the purpose and need of the project, which is to reduce congestion and accommodate future traffic. Let's take a closer look at the proposed improvements to Highway 41. The project team designed these improvements to ensure this alternative will have the ability to handle projected traffic volumes until the year 2045. The proposed design will help eliminate current traffic congestion and provide a free flow of traffic for over 25 years. Alternative 1 consists of two travel lanes in each direction for the entire length of Highway 41, with either center raised medians or two-way left turn lanes. The proposed design will include sidewalks along the east side of Highway 41 and a multi-use path along the west side connecting to existing and proposed multi-use paths. When traveling east on Highway 41 towards Mount Pleasant, a significant number of cars turn left onto Dunes West Boulevard, and these numbers will increase over time. To maintain a steady flow of traffic, Alternative 1 will include the construction of a continuous flow intersection where Dunes West Boulevard meets Highway 41. This new intersection will allow drivers to turn left and move straight through the main intersection at Dunes West Boulevard and Highway 41. This design will maintain a free flow of traffic while allowing vehicles to safely turn left onto Dunes West Boulevard. There will be no change to the aesthetic quality of the Rivertown and Dunes West entrances. To improve pedestrian safety and mobility, crosswalks will be added at signalized intersections throughout the entire corridor. Some unsignalized locations may include the installation of marked crosswalks with flashing beacon signals to alert vehicular traffic of pedestrians crossing. As requested by the community, within the Phillips community, these beacon signals are proposed at two locations. Alternative 1 includes connecting Winnowing Way from where it currently ends at Gregory Ferry Road to Highway 41. As vehicles head east on Highway 41, they will approach a new signalized intersection where Winnowing Way will meet Highway 41. This connection will allow cars to turn left onto Winnowing Way to access Porsche's Bluff Road and Highway 17. To keep traffic moving freely on northbound Highway 17, the project will include the construction of a three-lane flyover at the intersection of Highway 17, Winnowing Way, and Porsche's Bluff Road. This will allow cars headed north on Highway 17 to go over this intersection. A southbound bridge wasn't warranted due to cost. Now let's take a look at traveling Highway 41 to go southbound on Highway 17 toward the town of Mount Pleasant. These cars will veer right onto an enhanced old Highway 41 access road and then free flow onto Highway 17 southbound. The proposed intersection improvements at Highway 41 and Highway 17 is a diverging diamond interchange. While this design looks very different from a conventional signalized intersection, a diverging diamond interchange will be the most effective at moving large amounts of traffic through this intersection. Let's take a look from the perspective of cars traveling east on Highway 41 and approaching the diverging diamond. You'll see that drivers travel through a signalized intersection before crossing over to the left side of the median, where they then have the option to go left onto Highway 17 or stay straight onto Dingle Road. Now let's take a look from the driver's perspective in traveling through this diverging diamond when turning left from Highway 17 onto Highway 41. The diverging diamond will allow traffic going left to Highway 41 and north on Highway 17 to go at the same time, thus reducing the number of times traffic on Highway 17 will have to stop. This is especially important to alleviating congestion along Highway 17, which faces a significant amount of traffic during the AM and PM peak hour periods. The old Highway 41 merge onto Highway 17 currently creates an unsafe traffic movement, as cars must cross four lanes in a short distance to turn left onto Hamlin Road. In the proposed design, this left onto Hamlin will be replaced with a U-turn at Old Georgetown Road, Additional turning lanes will be added to Hamlin Road and Brickyard Parkway so cars can turn onto Highway 17 more easily and quickly. Cars heading north on Highway 17 will turn into Brickyard with a safer traffic signal that includes a dedicated left turn signal. We encourage your comments on the proposed alternative. The project team will continue to evaluate design modifications and further refinements may occur based on design refinement and public input. We appreciate your participation, input, and patience as we work together to improve the Highway 41 corridor.
So this is a pretty complicated project. I like to kind of think about it sometimes as almost five different projects that have come into one. You kind of have this big intersection at Dunes West and Highway 41 where you saw the continuous flow intersection. You got the widening of 41, whether you widen it or take it somewhere else to avoid the Phillips community. You've got the intersection at Hamlin, intersection 41, and intersection at Winnowing Way. All those things have to work together to really solve the problem, which is improving traffic in anticipation of future traffic and congestion. And I think it's kind of remarkable that the design team has been able to come up with a solution that doesn't relocate one business or one resident. It's an important point that I think everyone needs to understand. When we first came up with the idea, I think, of widening 41 and the improvements to 17, I think the conventional wisdom was a huge interstate-type interchange with flyover ramps and all kinds of things like you see in Hungry Net Boulevard and Johnny Dodds. The team's been able to really use these innovative design solutions to come up with a contextually sensitive design that works around the businesses and the homes and the things that are kind of working around this corridor. So again, as a review, the proposed alternative, which is alternative one, kind of has five main points is why it's being recommended as the preferred. First one, it improves traffic time. Second one, lowest overall cost. Third one, less effect of noise. Fourth one, fewest impact on wetlands. And finally, Laurel Island or Laurel Hill County Park with the least amount of impacts on that piece of property. Now, there's a lot happening on 17, and there's a lot of people that have interest on 17. And I know Mr. Freeman, particularly you and Cage, and how the ideas of paralleling 17 with an alternate route. We can get into some of those conversations later, but today we want to really focus on the hottest topic that we have in front of us, which is the impacts that alternative one would have to the Phillips community versus the impacts that are included in the environmental assessment or environmental document for 7A. So going back in history a little bit, this isn't something that's new. From the county's perspective, it was approved in the referendum back in November of 2016. And by the summertime of 2017, the project was underway. There was a range of alternatives that were developed. There were 12 total that initially were contemplated when the problem was trying to be solved. Initially, the first screening took those 12 alternatives down to three. That was alternatives 1, 2, and 7. Those three alternatives went out to the public, got public feedback, got public comment. Went into a second round of screening where alternatives 1, 5A, and 7A were developed and eventually got down to where we just had 1, just had 7A, and now we're at the point where the consultative team is recommending the preferred, which is alternative 1. So a couple of things to kind of highlight about this. The public process has really shaped the alternatives over the past several years. The feedback we've gotten from the public at various times throughout the NEPA process is what have created variations to some of those. You see 2A, you see 5A, you see 7A. Those are tweaks to some of the original ideas that really came out of the public comment. And then, Mr. Mayor, to your point earlier, the town made an opinion or sent a letter in 2019 that kind of said, yeah, we're trending towards alternative one. We kind of like the way it widens the existing road, and so we've really been kind of going with the public sentiment and public comments as we've been able to define the alternatives and really drill into some of the details in comparing these impacts. So if you look at kind of the public outreach, early on there was a lot of excitement. There was over 1,200 people that actually formulated comments, took the time to submit them. And again, the website that we have online right now is open for comment. We have Gmail accounts you can email to. We have phone numbers you can call. We're meeting with people on Zoom if anyone wants to put a couple people together to meet at one time. It's still very active and very fluid, but back then we had almost over 1,200 alternatives or comments looking at 1, 2, and 7. And again, 2, for those that don't really remember what that was basically 5 lanes above Dunes West, 3 lanes through Phillips, and 5 lanes below Phillips, and then just kind of using the 2-lane loop around Dunes West and Park West and down to Bessemer. Back then, the comments were pretty strong. We had a strong support, 475 people officially supported Alternative 1, whereas 596 people were not in support of Alternative 7. And some people actually commented about the no-build option, but ultimately the no-build we don't think is something that we're going to consider. When you look at the second screening process, 2 went away, 5 kind of showed up and got tweaked, and that was kind of a new road that went down the power line easement, essentially paralleled Highway 41 all the way from almost the bridge and connected into 17, and didn't use 41 and 17, didn't use Winnowing Way and Port St. Bluff, and it was its own road. And so we got some negative comments on that alternative, got more support of Alternative 1, more opposition to Alternative 7A, but a lot less comments. We went from 1,250 comments initially to really only about 175 in that second go-round. And so now, today, we're kind of in a third comment period process. I think we've got close to 1,000 comments that have come in, and we're analyzing all those comments. We're tracking them. We're categorizing them. And by the end of this September 11th comment period, we'll be able to really update where the 1 versus 7A fell from a public sentiment perspective. So what we're going to do next is kind of go through at a little more micro level, a little more granular level, and look at 1 versus 7A. So you see here on the left, Alternative 1, which is widening 41 2 lanes east direction with a center turn lane or a median, pretty much the entire length, as opposed to 7A, which is doing 2 travel lanes in each direction with a center turn lane or median through Dunes West Boulevard, down Park West Boulevard, and then a new road going through the Laurel Hill County Park, and then adding a 2-way left turn lane through the Phillips community, kind of above Joe Rouse and below Dunes West Boulevard. So we're going to zoom in. We're going to start with Alternative 1, and we're going to start kind of just below Planner's Point. And we're going to kind of take it in 2,000-foot chunks and take you all the way down the road until we get just past Joe Rouse, so you can actually see what the current concept looks like for this road and what it would impact around it. Now, I want to say this is a concept. You in engineering, you kind of do this like conceptual work, and then you go into a 30%, and then a 70%, and then a 90%, and 100%. We're still in that conceptual level. So there's always ways to tweak and fine-tune and improve designs. But this is kind of some conventional engineering behind how this alternative could vet out as it goes down the existing right-of-way. The heavy yellow lines that you see up there kind of designate the existing road right-of-way. And at this location, just below Planner's Point, right above the Harris Teeter, it's about 75 feet wide, that right-of-way is. What's important about that? We can get nearly the entire length of Highway 41. We can get the travel lanes for cars within the existing road right-of-way. What you're going to see is most of the partial acquisitions that are necessary along the corridor are really focused on that sidewalk that's on the east side, that multi-use path that's on the west side, the shoulders you would need, the landscaping that we want to put in there, and the safety precautions you want to put into the roadway. That's what really makes this road kind of extend beyond the existing road rights of way. So segment 1 is pretty straightforward. 2 travel lanes east direction. You're getting close to that continuous flow intersection at Dunes West Boulevard and near the Harris Teeter. If you turn to segment 2, you see the Harris Teeter there. A couple things to point out. The folks that are coming out of Dunes West that want to go to the Harris Teeter have to go through the intersection and Highway 41 into Rivertown, and then used the little front access drive to get into Harris Teeter. The continuous flow intersection, as it veers to the right and heads north towards the Wando Bridge, you're going to miss the driveway to Harris Teeter. So that anybody that's going to the Harris Teeter is going to have to enter in to the Rivertown neighborhood and turn right into the Harris Teeter. It's going to take some property from the Homeowners Association to get the continuous flow intersection to work. We have an impact to the pasture you see on the bottom right there. But by and large, this is an innovative design, but it's really it's not impactful to anybody that lives here or any of the commercial properties, except for it does not allow that left turn into the Harris Teeter as you're heading north of Highway 41. So as you get down to the next segment, segment three, this is where we really start to enter into the Phillips community. If you're heading south towards Mount Pleasant on Highway 41, you look to your right, you got that big Mount Pleasant Waterworks ground storage tank that is a large parcel. As you continue south, you've got some homes that are close to the right-of-way. We got this first one here on the top. It's about 150 feet from the existing right-of-way. You've got the church, this Christ Deliverance Church that's in the background there. And then you've got a pretty good tract of land that is mostly wooded, that's owned by the Myers family, that's about 19.6 acres. That's on the market for commercial development. It's on the market as a development tract. And then you've got Oliver Brown Road, and you see a single-family residential house that's kind of a good way set off from Highway 41. The asphalt that's shown in this corridor is within the existing limits of the Highway 41 right-of-way. You can see the green outside of the asphalt starting to bleed beyond the right-of-way limits, and that pushes us to our sidewalks, pushes us to the multi-use path, and what's going to be actually needed to put on these properties that we're going to be asking for partial right-of-way acquisitions from. There's a house right here at the end of Oliver Brown Road that's really close to the right-of-way, 35 feet. That's someone that we're going to be very much attention to, someone that we're going to have to work with on a specific basis on their property to understand what we can do should one move forward to help them offset the impacts, whether it's driveway relocations, whether it's landscaping, whether it's improvements to their home because they need new windows, whether it's because the house needs to be moved back and they've got room to move back. The county is willing to look at all tools in the toolbox to use for every single individual resident out there to formulate a specific plan for that parcel to make sure they feel duly compensated for the impacts this might have on their house. And then as you get towards the end of the segment, heading towards Mount Pleasant, there's a parcel of land owned by LeBrew LLC, which is technically, I think, owned by Westbrook Brewery. Yes, Ms. Landon.
Are we allowed to ask questions right now?
What, it's at the pleasure of the chairman, whatever you guys want to do.
At this point, committee members certainly are, yes.
Okay. If we could go back, because I wasn't sure when to jump in, on the last slide with the Dunes West continuous flow.
Yes, ma'am.
In that visual, I definitely don't see a roundabout, but you're saying it's continuous flow. So how would that work without lights?
There is a signal there.
A signal?
Okay. Yes, ma'am. It's a traffic signal.
And did they look at doing just a roundabout instead?
David? Michael? By the way, let me introduce members of the HDR team, because they're going to interject as necessary, too. Michael's a lead design engineer on the project, and then Shannon's the lead environmental and project manager for the project. So, Michael, did you look at a roundabout?
Yeah, for this intersection.
You did.
Traffic volumes are pretty large right here.
Significant volumes coming from... really from Dunes West Boulevard and along 41.
Yeah,
yes,
ma'am. Yeah.
Multiple times.
Well, that's the thing. In projecting this thing out to 2043, 2045, we're talking about 55,000 cars in this corridor. Right. But going back to segment three, something that I want to kind of start level setting a little bit on the number of parcels we're talking about. Essentially, from this segment all the way down to Joe Rouse, Total, we've got 84 parcels that front along Highway 41. Okay, so that's, when we talk about the Phillips community, we talk about those 84 parcels on either side of Highway 41 that will be needing some right-of-way from. Now, of those 84, there are parcels like this ground storage tank that Mount Pleasant Water Works has. There are some businesses out there. There's some people that aren't Phillips community members that have bought property. There are some other utility, you know, parcels out there that really reduce the actual number of parcels that are considered, you know, I think Phillips heritage type parcels to about 71. Out of those 71s up and down 41, about 49 of those are actually residential homes. Okay. So that's an important number. I think we need to kind of start framing the conversation around specifically those houses and those homes, because that's what the county is absolutely critically focused on, making sure that they're the ones that aren't impacted. And when you talk about impacts, we're talking about strips of right-of-way at the front of these parcels. Some of them could be 3 feet, some of them could be 25 feet. It all depends on, you know, the design of the road and where it is along that corridor. But what I think is important to know today, that of those 49 residents that we're talking about, there's about 16 of them now that are within 50 feet of existing Highway 41. Okay, so there are already some homes that are really up close, and those are the ones that we really have to focus the most attention to.
Is that 15 or 15?
16.
Within how many feet?
50 feet, yes, sir. 50 feet. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So as we go on the next segment, we start to see these red dots. Okay, these red dots, and they were earlier, I should have pointed out what those meant. Those red dots are the ones that are showing, Mayor, that houses are closer than 50 feet to the existing right-of-way. We've got the Ford family here on Parvis Island Road, right near it. We did some studies on those parcels over there. We got a couple of images of what it could look like after the mitigation, after the county, if they were successful in acquiring a right-of-way here and working out a deal. We got some images to focus on what we could do to enhance that property and lessen the impact. You see here, just on the top of the, on that side of the page, you've got Phillips Manor subdivision that's kind of already started. You see some development that's occurred over time there. That happened back in 2008. Canyon Lane has a couple of development tracks in there that I know people are studying about new development. You see the pedestrian signalized intersection. And that location at Parker's Island Road, it can vary. I mean, we got in there two, but, you know, somewhere in the segment, we've got two of these crossings. But they can be worked out with the community and the neighborhood and put in the place that has is the most effective, where the neighbors really, really live. As you see, heading back towards Mount Pleasant a little bit more, there's a number of houses that are nearby, but there's one thing that's missing on this aerial because it's a little dated, but there's a new road that's under construction right now that will connect into Highway 41 that provides access to about 17 acres of Dan Ryan homes that are under construction right now in this segment. So certainly there's some other pressure in this area that's going to generate some traffic in the future, and something we have to consider as we're designing the road.
Sorry.
Yes, Ms. Laney.
Probably ask the most questions about this part just because I travel this every day, and I see an awful lot of commentary on Nextdoor and other places from all the neighbors. I just was wondering, because you said there's going to be two of those pedestrian crossways, so those are going to be signaled, and it's going to have the flashing thing. So, okay, I heard all that. Right now, not only are there no intersections with lights through the Phillips portion of the highway, but I mean, it's free flowing because most of those areas, even Phillips Manor, which has quite a few houses back there, you just don't see a whole lot of turn. I don't know if you've done the pool study, you probably have. But the number of turns that you see when you're driving down there is fairly small. It almost seems to me like we're gonna start creating more slowdown spots here and so forth. Is that? I understand the safety if you've got a five-lane highway, but that's part of why I would love to see a three-lane highway. So I'm just wondering, you know, where was the thought of making these two additional intersections?
That's purely to answer the traffic problem. Mm-hmm. If you have three lanes, it doesn't carry the same amount of cars, nearly the amount of cars as a five-lane would.
So in order to meet the future traffic demands, the traffic modeling shows you have to have five lanes on the corridor. Whether it's Highway 41 or whether it's 7A with Dunes West and Park West.
I know about that part, and I was going to bring that up later. I'm talking about adding two lights that we don't have.
Oh, lights.
But the intersections that we do not have right now, it seems like it's going to slow things down.
Yeah, so the intersections that are kind of residential streets along 41 that you're kind of referring to, there's not enough traffic there to warrant a signal, a new signal. Having the two-way left turn will help people get out of traffic and be able to get in and out of the road and that sort of thing. But the models today don't show that you don't need a signal.
Well, I'm still confused then. So what do we have that we would not have? These two spots would not be traffic?
So we're talking about at non-road intersections, being able to put pedestrian crossings that are lit and signalized for people that need to want to go back and forth across 41, not at an existing road intersection.
Okay, so only for when someone happens to walk up there.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, the theory is just family. People that are friends, they've been there forever, and they want to be able to cross the street safely and not necessarily walk 2,000 feet down to find a
cross street. I agree. I just didn't understand that there was no light.
It's just like the one at Park West or Alexander.
Right, I got it. Thank you.
Sun Chaser is another more recent development that started around 2011. Also failed to mention on these exhibits, you see some of the coloring for some of the wetlands and so forth. There's some, they're shaded in there because I know that question's come up a couple of times on comparing 7A to 1. Mr. Smalls, there's Elijah Smalls Road there, and there's, you know, a house that's awfully close to the proposed right-of-way that we'll have to focus on, one at the entrance of Sun Chaser Lane. You know, there's your second signalized pedestrian crosswalk. We've got the Phillips Cemetery historical marker. There's a little headstone there. It's historic. It's something that we have to be sensitive to. We've got the my mother's keeper, retirement assisted living is a business that's just on the west side of Highway 41, just below Sun Chaser. And there's some properties that kind of back up the Highway 41 along Joe Rouse, that kind of front on Joe Rouse, that don't really have great access off of Highway 41. And as you continue south, you're getting closer to the conclusion of really where the Phillips community lies, and we're getting close to Joe Rouse Road. And if you notice here, the road shifts a little bit to the west. And again, that's kind of one of those conceptual designs that over time could change. But what it's trying to do is avoid the Highway 41 adult daycare, which is a commercial property just right below that end right there. And it moves the road closer to the three properties that kind of back up to the marsh that are on the west side right before you get to Joe Rouse. So there's, you know, you're kind of trying to protect against something, but it ends up impacting something else. And so that's just, again, part of the alternatives and design process where you test things and see how it works out. And then as you get back to Joe Rouse, you see a big intersection, and then you continue down to segment 7, which is really returning back to the 41 corridor, and you're mostly impacting property along the Laurel Hill County Park. Any questions on alternative 1 before we move to 7A? Mr. Mayor?
Good question. So, granted, we know Phillips community is not within the town of Mount Pleasant, and even, you know, the intersection at 41 and 17 of parcels are not in the town of Mount Pleasant. But we're looking at this as a whole project. So the section we just looked at was 1.2 miles through the Phillips community. Is that four lanes? I didn't see five lanes. I saw four lanes.
So
I'm reading and hearing in places that it's five lanes.
Yeah, so that's a detail, really. The four lanes is indicating two travel lanes in each direction. They will either be a center median, which is landscape with grass, or a fifth lane, which is a two-way left turn. Does that make sense? So you're gonna have 60 feet worth of road, but sometimes you're only gonna have 48 of it paved, or 63 feet of it and 48 of it paved. Other times you might have the whole 63 feet paved. Does that make sense?
Right.
You good with that answer, Michael? All right, good. Okay, So let's move on to alternative 7A, and we'll kind of start the similar the way we did before, just to the north above Dunes West Boulevard. And the only difference between this and alternative 1 is that 7A starts to follow 41, starts to sweep towards Dunes West Boulevard to try to get that direction of most of the traffic that needs to go up and down the corridor going straight and not having to turn. Right, so all you're really seeing here is a change in the alignment of 41 as it gets close to Dunes West Boulevard. And you see there's wetlands all around it, and it's kind of the backside of the gates at Dunes West. Once you get to the intersection of Dunes West Boulevard and Rivertown Parkway, there is a significant change to kind of how traffic flows here. If you look at the word Harris Teeter up there, the driveway will go away. You will not be able to get in and out of the Harris Theater off of the 7A option for 41. You'd have to turn right into Rivertown Parkway as it extends into 41, and then you turn right into the Harris Theater, that little driveway up there. Now, to get to old 41, if you're coming from the Wando Bridge, to get to old 41, you would kind of start heading towards Dunes West, but then you would turn right into Rivertown, and then you would turn left into old Highway 41 to make your way down to Joe Rouse or any other route between here and there. You can see there's an impact to the pastures at Dunes West. I mean, it's going to impact the overall entrance as it compares to what they have today. Dunes West Boulevard is a wide right-of-way. And so there is some right-of-way that has to be taken from the neighborhoods on either side of it in order to make it meet the design criteria that we're trying to make it meet, flatten out some curves, that sort of thing. But here we're showing, you know, a little bit of widening, correcting some of the geometry, some of the wetlands that are surrounded. As you continue to head towards Park West Boulevard, you know, here's the sales center. There's some offices over there where the tennis courts and the pool and that sort of thing is. Cypress Point, Palmetto Hall. Again, we're just really kind of fixing the road alignment, getting it to where it meets design criteria. We're not impacting any parcels, any homes, any residences, or any businesses. As we get to segment 4, this is where it starts to get. You got segment 4 in there?
Skipped over.
There it is. Oh. Go to the next one.
Load the wrong slide.
All right, here we go. So here's where Dunes West Boulevard kind of turns into Park West Boulevard, and it's at the entrance to Dunes West at their main gate. I guess that's called Wando Plantation Way. There's some realignment that has to happen on the existing neighborhood streets. We see Ellington Woods Boulevard gets moved. The Mansfield townhomes over there gets aligned into it. The driveway into Mansfield goes away. A portion of Dunes West Boulevard gets removed, and the road starts to shift away from the townhomes. The red dots there indicate, you know, that there are a number of townhomes that are near the road right away. The noise studies that have been conducted on this project say that there is a noise wall that's actually warranted on 7A to protect the folks that live there. Continue the next segment. The road kind of goes a bit cross country from here. It deviates totally from the Park West Boulevard alignment and gets squeezed in between Chauncey's Courts, townhomes, and the residences that are along Kiln Court. That's to improve the efficiency of the road, make traffic work better, stays away from needing to take any of the townhomes or any of the houses around there. But you can see there's still a number of townhomes that back up to this road, and because of the volume of traffic and the density of the development around it, there is a noise wall that's warranted there. This is kind of going to be a big intersection for 7A at Park West Boulevard. It contemplates the future widening of Park West Boulevard back towards 17. And certainly there's a lot of traffic that will be coming down this corridor too. To the top there, you see kind of Bessemer Court that's at the roundabout now. We're not really contemplating any major changes to Bessemer Court and the roundabout as it starts to head back towards 41. And then from here on out, we're really going through Laurel Hill County Park. You've got the wetlands that we're dealing with. You've got the restrictive covenants that are on the land. We're building a brand new road through you know, woods and virgin land. And there's wetlands we're dealing with. You know, there's trees and timbering that we're working on. And then finally, in segment A, we've got a little bridge we have to cross where there's a little bit of marsh up there. And then ultimately, we get back to South Carolina, to Highway 41 and tie 41 back in with a T intersection and continue 7A down the existing 41 and pick back up where alternative one is the same. So that's kind of a quick high-level comparison of how 7A kind of looks as it relates to alternative one. But if you want to know the details and you want to know the real numbers, what I just showed you is kind of graphical and kind of represents what the drawings look like. But here's the details, okay? Wetlands. Alternative one does have a little more impact on saltwater marsh, 0.3 acres. However, there's less freshwater wetlands that alternative one impacts. 7A impacts 3.3 more acres. And why is that? Because Laurel Hill County Park has a fair amount of wetlands along the alignment in the backside of the park, so it just tips the scale in that direction. When you start talking about the historical, archaeological sites, so forth, alternative one impacts a single archaeological site. 7A has two historical structures. 7A has zero. Alternative one has three. Sweetgrass baskets, alternative one has four, which we're very sensitive to, obviously. And I think we would follow the town's lead on how they handle the sweetgrass baskets when they widen 17 and do something very similar. And then impacts to Laurel Hill County Park, you know, it's a significant amount more land on 7A than there is on alternative one. And if you look at the noise, there's 43 more receptors along 7A. It means the density is a little more around 7A, and it justifies two noise walls, whereas on alternative one, there weren't any noise walls that were justified. And then properties. This is a huge point that I think we have to clarify to everyone involved. Alternative one and 7A, neither one of them requires a full acquisition or relocation of any business or any home. Okay? So that's zero on both sides there. Now, when you talk about the number of properties, being that, you know, the Phillips community along Highway 41 have more parcels, there are a greater number of parcels and properties where you need partial acquisitions in the neighborhood of 51 more parcels that you'd be dealing with if one was to move forward. But on the flip side of it, it takes almost 28 acres more real estate in order to make alternative 7A work, because again, you're building a new road where there is no existing right-of-way, and just by that nature, it's going to require more property. And then on the cultural side, and this is really the issue. It's disproportionately more impactful on Phillips for alternative one than it is on 7A. There's only two parcels, I think, on the top end or the low end that technically is within the Phillips community that needs some right-of-way from in order to make 7A work. And one relies upon a number of parcels, like we said earlier, in order to make the design and the right-of-way work for the road. Costs. So this is a huge piece of the equation, too. If you look at the overall project costs and compare 1 versus 7A, you're building a brand new road without any infrastructure in place there. Generally, that's going to be more expensive than widening something that's already in place, particularly if you're able to take the property relocations and having to buy businesses out of the equation. So you can see the right-of-way acquisition is actually pretty similar for either alternative. The big hit is that construction number. It's $30 million, roughly, less expensive to build alternative one. We got some more utilities to work with, since there is an existing corridor of utilities there, so it's a little more expensive. The wetland mitigation is a little more expensive on alternative 7A. And then ultimately we got, you know, $700,000 worth of noise walls we got to build. And if you look at it in comparison to what you'd have to do on one. So all told, you're talking about $29.7 million, which roughly at this stage of the game is $30 million. The other thing that we want to kind of just stress, you know, we kind of listed the environmental stuff already. We kind of talked about construction costs, but we can't ignore the travel times. The modeling that is in the current environmental assessment today and the environmental document today shows that when you go southbound in the morning down Highway 41, it's a shorter route. You get down there faster. It's 7.6 minutes difference. You're going almost a mile longer to get to the same location. So it's 2 minutes faster in the mornings when you're coming into Mount Pleasant down Highway 41. It's a shorter route, less travel time. If you're going in the other direction in the evening and you're trying to head home, it's a lot more congestion that we're handling here. And there's a 5.3 minute difference on getting up 41 to the Wando Bridge as opposed to using 7A to go in that same direction. So all those variables from the consulting team side of things, when you look at NEPA, you look at safety, you look at enhancing the streets, you look at the cost effectiveness, you look at the environmental concerns, you look at all those things in total and you come to a recommendation. And that has led, you know, the consultant team to go down the road of recommending alternative one. And you couple that with the public feedback that we received up until this point. So the environmental document that's online has a really important piece to it. And then there's a draft mitigation plan that's been created. And that hasn't been done in a vacuum, by the way. That draft mitigation plan has come from feedback from some of those early 1,250 comments all the way down to just some of the one-on-one conversations we've had with various groups throughout the nearly 3 years of working on this thing. The mitigation plan includes working with impacted property owners to enhance their property. What does that mean? That means what I said earlier. If your house needs to move a little bit to get away from the road, and if you have a mobile home that needs to be relocated, if you have some windows that don't meet today's standards that are loud, if you need some landscaping, if you need your driveway redone to make it safe, the county wants to work with each one of those residences and make that happen as part of the right-of-way acquisition process. Ayers property, you know, I know that's something that's a big concern. I think someone mentioned to me during our Phillips community meeting there might be 10,000 Ayers on some of these properties. And that's a complicated thing. But at the end of the day, I think the county feels comfortable in their legal team and the fact that they have time and money that can work through the Ayers issues and hopefully come to a resolution that everyone can live with. Educational programs on the historic communities in the project area, community events, family days, those are the things the county is willing to add to a mitigation plan. Identify, document, evaluate Gull African American traditional cultural properties. I know I read an article in the paper about some of the history of Phillips might not be written exactly correctly, so we could go back through and try to, you know, recreate that and correct that and make sure it's there for everyone to know about. Rec fields, community centers, those things are on the table. Basketball, you know, courts, things that will enhance the community, keep people there, make them want to stay there and hopefully add some value to the cultural aspects of what we know happens in Phillips. Holbeck Creek, it's a great resource. Is it valuable to the community to have better access to it? That's something the county is willing to explore. There used to be access. I don't know if it's a huge priority of the community, but we certainly want to talk it out and see if there's something that we can do to make that happen. Obviously, the simple stuff like landscape buffers and trying to, you know, make sure that the neighborhood is insulated from the road as much as possible. Signage, work on access to some of their neighborhood facilities like Goodwill Amy Church or anything like that. So, talk about what it could look like. So this is a house that's on Highway 41. It's just above Parker Road. And it's a really, you know, nice brick house, chain link fence in the front, driveway off of 41. And so you think about, well, we're going to move the road a little closer. We're going to have a multi-use path over there. What can we do to help, you know, enhance that property? Well, here's a rendering of what you could do. You can see you got curb and gutter on the road. So
So you got pipe drainage systems, you got as tight of a road section as you possibly can. You got a nice safe strip of land, a shoulder, so to speak, that's going to be grassed. Put your mailbox there. You're going to have the multi-use path. It's 10 foot wide. They have bicyclists and pedestrians coming up and down it. You're going to have an area with the landscape. You can move a fence. You can add a fence. You can make a fence that is more, it's beefier, stronger. It's more, permanent than a chain link fence. We can landscape, we can buffer, we can redo driveways. We can do a number of things to help enhance that property and offset the impacts that the road may have to it. Just two parcels down from, and here's a view of another one. This is a modular house that we could do a number of things similar to the one we just showed you with enhancements to the driveways, a fence, be able to landscape, buffer it. We can move it. You know, we can simply move it. We can fix some of the plumbing issues that might be there. We can help with some ADA accessible handicap ramps that might need to be in there that aren't there. So there are a number of things the county is willing, again, to explore on a parcel by parcel basis to mitigate the impacts this road could have on the community. So I think I probably went a little longer than I was supposed to, which is usually the case. So I'll go through this real quick. What's next? All right. This environmental report has to go to the Corps. Corps is going to go through their own little public notice, and ultimately they're going to come up with kind of their record decision and issue a permit for the project if they agree with the findings of the project. The county is willing to start conversations on an individual basis right away with the community to start talking about their concerns and helping formulate plans that can mitigate the impacts. Again, September 11th, the comment period is over. Mr. Mayor, I think October 15th is a target date at Charleston County Council to hear this same conversation and have a vote on whether to proceed with 1 or 7A to the Corps. So that's a critical date for all of us involved. And then after that, we hope to, you know, be successful in getting a permit and have something built, because, you know, the congestion in the area is unbearable. It's getting worse every day. And modeling is showing that it's a lot of traffic that we're going to be dealing with in a short amount of time. So that's all I got. Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to take questions from you and the committee or do whatever you want next.
Committee members, this meeting is for you. If you have any questions you want to do from here, if it would involve them bringing something back up on the screen, or we can go back over and sit in the chairs. Okay. All right. We'll go back over there.
Thank you, Rep.
You're welcome. Thank you, sir.
We may have some committee questions.
I have one question for, I guess, for Brad or anybody, maybe, or the county that's really knowledgeable. Is it an oversimplification of just jurisdictional lines that Mount Pleasant goes to about Joe Rouse, and then you're in the county, and then you get to Mount Pleasant right about Rivertown Dunes West?
I think that's a good representation. Yes, sir.
Okay. What I'm getting at is, I mean, the effects of any alternative are the same on everybody. Traffic doesn't care where the lines are. One of the things that I want to do, and as I came up with a list of questions, and I don't know if this is part of the county's research into this area already. It's probably not so cool with the traffic you have if you live on 41 now. You know, there's a lot of traffic. You mentioned that one of the tracks is for sale. So does the county have I don't know if there's some representatives here. I'd like to know, like, in the county, are people applying for their residential property to be rezoned to commercial? Because as everybody, the public and everybody else looks at this, we're very concerned. Everybody's concerned. How could you not be about the impact on someone's home, whether they're in the town or in the county? But a few years ago, long before any of us were on here, the town did Hungry Neck Boulevard. And I don't remember any controversy there might have been. I wasn't on council. A lot of y'all were around then. There were some. But a lot of folks' property then was became or was settled at a price that reflected commercial. So I'm not suggesting or telling anybody what to do with their property. I would like to know if there is research both in the town and the county that shows, because a lot of folks that live there might be saying, I don't care if you widen Highway 41 or not, it's still not fun to live on as it is right now if you front it. And so if a lot of that property is trending towards commercial anyway, that's something I think that people ought to know, that we might like to know, which is another question I have technical. Do all the driveways that are there remain having direct access, or is this, I mean, I think I know the answer, but I just wanted to ask.
Yeah, so let me take the first half of the question.
Okay.
In terms of zoning and land value and that sort of thing. So the consultant team that's working on the widening of Highway 41 and the NEPA document that needs to be approved by the Corps, that's not part of the criteria that we have to study.
Right.
So that conversation could happen at the planning department or council levels to kind of see, hey, what can we do from a land use perspective, or what is happening from evaluation of property and property taxes and how the rezonings are occurring. So secondly, for the most part, most of the driveways would stay connected to 41. However, there are a few locations where there's some houses that are nearby side streets. Mm-hmm. And I think if at all possible, it's better to have those driveways realign with some of the side streets, which could mean a total reconfiguration of someone's circulation at their house.
Mm-hmm.
It may mean that we do kind of a three-point turn location inside their house, so they can, you know, it's not on their lot, so they can turn around and get aimed in the right direction and make sure they're pointed outward and heading towards 41 or the side street that we connect them to. I think by and large the answer is yes, we want to connect them back to 41, but sometimes it might be better to do an access point that's nearby.
Mm-hmm. Yes, committee members, please.
A couple of things, and I don't have this written down in a certain order, so I'm going to be a little stream of consciousness for a minute. But
need my pen?
No. First of all, I don't know how the folks that live in the Phillips area that are here today, right, that saw those recreations where some of the improvements could happen. Let me just say on that subject, because I've listened to and met with a number of different folks from various areas in our historic settlement communities, I think the number one thing everybody would want to know is, and I'm sure this would be the case, but I'm just going to say it publicly, and hopefully you answer publicly too now today,
yes,
is that it's all contractual, so people know they can count on it. And
yes.
And I hate to bring up a sore point, but a lot of promises seem to be made verbally when Home Depot was being built and Jenny Lang School was being torn down and moved. And unfortunately, there were never any contracts, and there was a sense that a lot of things that were promised never happened. Mm-hmm. So whether that's right, wrong, or indifferent, I think the most important thing is people would know, hey, if you've promised to make my house look like this, and I got to choose this, that, and the other, and make the way I want it, and you're paying for it, you know, that could actually help some folks. The second thing is, you know, we call this Highway 41. It's a two-lane road, and it's going to become a four-lane road if this plan goes through, or maybe five at some points or whatever. You know, I know this is another one that was a sore point for a really long time, but I personally think has turned out really well, and it seems like the community feels this way too now, but Coleman Boulevard.
Yes, ma'am.
Is four lanes with a median that is, you know, and I mean, it was huge contention for quite a while as to how that would end up. And it has the multimodal path, you know, for bikes. One of the things I've observed many, many times driving down Highway 41 is how dangerous it is, because we have a lot of folks that go and collect sweetgrass and then drive the bikes. Now, I haven't seen it as much lately, probably because the traffic's a lot heavier. But if there was the ability, when you're carrying sweetgrass on the back of a bicycle, a little bit unwieldy, I'm sure, to have a good lane, that helps. So I don't know if there's a sense that if we could call this a boulevard, I guess we're not supposed to change the name of it, but having it be a boulevard as opposed to the idea of a five-lane highway in front of your house. I know it sounds like semantics, but when you look at Coleman Boulevard, it's mostly businesses on Coleman, but it doesn't quite feel, it doesn't feel like a highway. Also, one of the biggest concerns, a lot of things are perception and not what ends up being the reality. There was a really big outcry from a number of folks, and we listened diligently to this, about the possibility that because of the way the turns would be, that we'd end up with, you know, racetracks around neighborhoods. And that didn't ever materialize. And so I think it's going to be really important that whatever happens, we make sure that a lot of those kinds of concerns are shown as to why that won't be the case. But I do want to one more time, I know I sound like a broken record or beating a dead horse, I don't like to talk about hurting animals, but as an expression, if you, when you drive through the Phillips portion of Highway 41 right now, you don't have very many cars turning very often.
Yes, ma'am.
It's a very light number. Now, my normal path is to come Joe Rouse, like a whole lot of other folks, to come Joe Rouse, you know, Bessemer to Joe Rouse, turn left. That seems to be by far the most traffic, and I would say the Dunes West, or maybe Dunes West, the other part is coming from the bridge to Dunes West. Either way, I know where they're headed. They're headed to Costco, they're headed to the hospitals, they're headed to Park West Rec, and of course, all of us coming from work. I still don't understand why this modeling is so emphatic that we will need five lanes through Phillips, that, as opposed to what alternative two was. And the reason I say that is because in the morning you've got a lot of, you're talking about northbound being much worse, but in the morning is when you have the buses stopping, school buses stop on 41. Mm-hmm. You have obviously school and work getting out at the same time. In the afternoon, it's the opposite. School buses are pretty much, you know, between 3:30, that time period. Most work home, you know, commuting traffic is probably closer between 4 and 7. So it seems like it's stretched out a lot more. But that wasn't what your model seemed to indicate. And I'm just feeling like, why wouldn't you just be able to have two southbound lanes, one northbound lane, and then, God forbid, in an emergency or hurricane, you can have, you can reverse one of the lanes so more people can get out quickly. But you're saying that your modeling has definitely said that won't work no matter what?
Yes, ma'am, that's correct. So let me start from the top and work my way down. And then I'm going to call on Mr. Darby to kind of address the traffic modeling piece, because it's a very intricate, detailed kind of question you've asked there. But first off, in terms of the mitigation plans and the commitment that the county has for improving the single-family residential houses, yes, you're correct. There will be contractual obligations that require that to happen. We'll have to follow the state statute and the Uniform Act in order to acquire the property. But what's really the most different and unique thing on this one that I think is important for everyone to realize, we're trying to create this mitigation advisory committee to prepare this mitigation plan, okay? That mitigation plan will become the record of decision that the Corps will base their ultimate up or down on, okay? So if the Corps says, one of your conditions of this permit is you enhance single-family residential residents in order to offset the impacts of these properties, then it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's got to happen. It's not just a good faith thing, or it's not just take my word for it, I'm going to do it for you. You know, it really nails it down and makes it happen. Your thoughts on Coleman Boulevard, I had exactly the same conversation the other day. You know, that typical section through the Phillips community could very well be what gets built. What does that do? Does a couple things. Number one, narrows that right away more. It's a tight urban section. It slows traffic down. So both of those things could be the right, both of those ideas could be the right things to put here in the context of Phillips community. And that can happen as the design progresses and you get into those details. So I think you're right. And the vision that you have could very well be what occurs in 3 years when it's time to build this road. Biking down Highway 41, I know y'all hear from Thomas and Hutton a lot. Right, they come in here and talk about projects that work for y'all quite often. Well, there's a good friend of mine who works over there named Bill Fellers. Mm-hmm. And just 4 weeks ago, coming down Highway 41, riding his bicycle, he got in a wreck. and has been in intensive care for a number of weeks, broke every rib but two, head injury, back injury, leg injury, the whole nine yards. So it's a safety concern out there on Highway 41, and anything you can do to add bike and pedestrian facilities and slow traffic down is a wonderful improvement to safety in the corridor. Now, Michael, do you want to address the traffic, why the three and two lanes solution doesn't work, why you need five lanes?
Yeah, so basically,
come on.
So if you split the project up in basically three segments, you know, you've got north of Dunes West, and you've got Dunes West to Joe Rouse, and then Joe Rouse to 17. Yes, you do see movements off of 41 onto Dunes West Boulevard, going to the schools and Costco and everything, but you're also picking up a large volume coming from Dunes West onto 41 and from Rivertown onto 41 southbound in the AM. And then as you get south of Joe Rouse, you get that large volume coming off of Joe Rouse, Bessemer, that head that way. So the traffic's growing in increments of about 10,000 from the segment north of Dunes West, and then it gets about 10,000 more per day within the Phillips community, and then another 10,000 south of there. That's why you really need to continue to keep that five-lane section through all of it.
The other thing to kind of remember, that even though, and you alluded to it, Mayor, we've kind of got town, county, town, and then we got a whole other county and another city.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Set the bridge.
This is a regional thing. And the purpose of the road is not to serve Cane Hoy Village or whatever it is that the Daniel Allen Company is doing on Clements Ferry Road, but the reality of it is they are sending traffic this way. And so, you know, it's something you got to think about in a more regional perspective as growth in the next 25 years occurs.
We are getting short on time. We've got another meeting coming up, and we're going to feed council because we find that we think better and get along better when our stomachs aren't growling. One of the points I wanted to make from here, and everybody can speak before we conclude, is that we have basically spent our entire focus on the Phillips community. We do need to discuss and get impact from our residents at Hamlin, at Brickyard, you know, at Gregory Ferry and Porcher Bluff, and a flyover. If you remember 20 years ago, remember when flyovers in Mount Pleasant were the big topic? I know things have changed, and we've got, how many do we have? Well, a few now. But so we have not really delved into those things yet. And so as we said when we started, we have a lot of information to gather. I do have one quick question, and then Ms. Chapman, I'll turn it over to you. The mitigation aspect, I have always said, and I'll say this to our citizens that are here today, even though this is the county project, they may ask our blessing on it. We don't know where we're going on that. But any alternative that does not pass regulatory or possibly judicial scrutiny will not be an alternative that ends up getting built for anybody, citizens. So any alternative that goes up the chain, far from here, we are the low end of the totem pole. I've been saying this for years. We got a state road with federal approval, with county money, and we're just the town of Mount Pleasant. We're just sitting down here at the bottom rung. But anything that goes out, that goes up, that gets submitted, if it doesn't get approved or if it gets struck down in court or something, we've got no improvement for anybody. So one question I would have is on the mitigation part for the Phillips community, when county council votes, will the details of that be, so they will have to vote on that in October, and they won't really even know the full scope of the mitigation at that point. That's correct?
That's correct, Mr. Mayor. I mean, the process we have in front of us is we want the community advisory committee to really drive the spirit and the details of the mitigation plan.
Yes.
The draft that's in there is a framework. It comes from the public and the comments we got. But the details of what officially goes in after the Corps starts to review the document, we settle on all the impacts, needs to be directed by the people.
Okay. Give us the website or the email for people to make comments that will get tallied by the county, please.
Let's see. What's the website address?
Pull it up right here.
And then Ms. Chapman, you have the floor.
Go ahead.
I think it's highway41sc.com.
I think it is.
But I never trust myself with web addresses. Ms. Chapman, go ahead.
Well, I think we had one gentleman in the audience that had a question, and I would like to hear his question, and then I would make a comment. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. My name is Jonathan Ford. I live on 2906 Canyon Lane. And I don't have a question, and so I need to go slowly because I'm not an engineer. And I think your numbers are not like a sleight of hand. When you speak of the comments, if we have 200 permanent residents in the Plymouth community, you can't compare their comments with all of the subdivisions, because basically you're saying, well, you know, we got 1,000, 2,000 comments as compared to 100. That's like a sleight of hand. That can't be. And with all the conversation, no one's coming to the people in the community. If you go back to that slide that where you showed Elijah Ford's house, which is my uncle, and the last one was Eric Ford's house, which is my uncle, both of those properties are over there. Both of those houses, well, my uncle's house, is over his property.
Right.
Because the rest of that is family, is property. So where are you going to move them at? I mean, where are you going to do? So that's disingenuous. And Ayers property, it's not that easy. To clear up the property, but you're saying now the county has the money to do all that. So you said it was a $30 million difference. So take all that money that you're willing to spend and put it and make up the $30 million, and you've got the alternative, 78. You know, you're saying all of this, but you're not coming to the people who's it affecting. Now, when you show that fence or whatever, that wall fence that you put up in front of my uncle's house, well, the
well.
No, not the well, because you didn't speak of the well, which is historical, because all of that property is the old black community schoolhouse property, which would make it added into the historical. You didn't include that. There again, it's didn't. But my problem is the proposed right-of-way is almost at his step. You're putting the fence on the diagram, the wall, where the fence is. So you're not showing the true picture.
Yeah, let me help him out on that. What would happen is that is just an artist's rendering.
Sir, I
wanted to give you a chance to speak. But what would happen is if and when this was the alignment selected, someone from the county would come and sit down with you and your family to make a determination on what needed to happen. And I would encourage you to be a part of the discussions between now and September 11th. And I can tell you that representatives not only from the town, but the county, as well as the consultants, would love the opportunity to sit down individually, not with a big crowd, but individually with the property owners along the way to help everybody understand. There's a lot of safety improvements that are going to take place, but what they would love to be able to do is sit down individually as this is being developed. And it may help decide, well, it's too much money this way, we might have to go to 7A. But we would encourage the community to be involved, in particular, in the mitigation plan that you're talking about.
All right, just a minute. I'm going to jump in here. The purpose of this meeting was for this council to get information. This is not a public hearing. The town cannot address those issues because you're in the county. So we know what the question is. I appreciate what everybody has said, but we've got another meeting come up, and we're way over time. We have got to move on, okay? Anything else from anybody on the committee?
I'd just like to say that there's a tremendous amount of safety improvements for the whole 41 area, not just the Phillips community, but the whole 41 area with this project. And Mr. Reidenbach already alluded to the bicycle problems. They're also going to plant trees along this whole area, which need to be done.
Right. And as we move forward to the committee, as a takeaway from this, at our next meeting or individually with Brad. We owe it to our people who we took an oath to standing right there to also look at the safety features and any other thing involved with all the intersections in the town of Mount Pleasant and our neighborhoods too. We've devoted a lot of time to the Phillips community today, and I'm glad we did, but we've got to devote time to the parts that are in the town of Mount Pleasant where we actually have jurisdiction and the people that we actually represent as well. All right, so the next item on our agenda is an update on maritime port district transportation improvements, including possible use of surplus tax increment or TIF funds. Everybody knows what this is in relation to. We had our bond attorney on the TIF funds tell us that when five priority areas that are within TIF districts, and thank y'all from the county, we may have to get y'all back again at another time. Thank you very much. The fact that the boat slips, the day slips, that those bids came in and that project is effectively dead does not mean that we're going to do the things that governments do in other places like the state and the feds and say, well, we got all this money, let's invent a way to spend it. I agree with what Gary said. We've got things at the park we need to finish, and we're not talking about robbing Peter to pay Paul. But that was $4.9 million. Yes. And we anticipate there will be some surplus. And I implore council, let's don't go finding things to spend money just because we have a windfall because one phase became impractical. But we've got roads, we've got safety issues, and we've got flooding over here. And I've worked with the three neighborhoods over there a lot. I take part in the trucker roundtable that the Ports Authority puts on regularly, and the neighborhoods show up over there, and we've got residents coming in and out with the trucks, and we've got some flooding on Wando Park Boulevard that Hillary has addressed and given us the reasons for and all that. So if there's a way and we can find some surplus TIF money, I think that's a good place to put it. So if y'all would give us what you got on this.
Yes, sir. And if I may, to abbreviate this, so I know we're pushing up against other things. The idea, sir, is, and Brad can go through it, we're moving forward with money that was left in that area to construct some of the improvements that you've seen before that are potential improvements to the port area. If it was your desire, as council's desire, to relocate any of that money, we could do other transportation projects. And those projects could be, Brad?
And I'll try to do no appetizers, only the menu here, right to the menu. These are the projects that you could consider. It's almost a menu of items that you could consider. The top two are what Eric is referring to, are the transportation portions of those projects. You've seen these before. They're called sections 1 and 7 out of a previous report by CDM Smith that defines concepts around Wando Park Boulevard. And these are those concepts. If you were to move forward, staff, as far as priority goes, would recommend sections 1 and 7, which on this graphic, 1 is the extension of a lane, which essentially is the right turn off of the interstate ramp all the way to Shipping Lane. If you know that area right now, it kind of gets beyond the intersection and merges back into the inside lane. And then another road would be a new alignment project that we show upper left portion of your screen, section 7, which would be really another outlet for the Wando Park Boulevard traffic to get to Shipping Lane. And the assumption would be with that type of improvement and other growth in the area that eventually a signal could be warranted at Shipping Lane and Long Point, and that is number 4. So those three projects, number 4 is really attainable probably with existing funding, and we show that here in your menu, in that we'll probably have about $200,000 left in the existing budget, and we would take down number 4, section 4, with that. So 1 and 7 are kind of your primary roadway improvements that staff would recommend.
And Mr. Mayor, this discussion is primed to come up at your next meeting.
All right.
We can review it again later, but you can slice and dice if you chose any money to go towards this area. There are additional things we could do to support not just transportation and safety, but economic development.
OK.
Okay, thank you. So we get another bite at this apple, is what we're saying. This is a broad overview.
Yeah.
Committee, everybody good with that?
Good.
Okay, all right. I think given the amount of time, we will forego item number six, update on ongoing projects. I think our plate is full, our cup runneth over, and whatever cliche we can come up with. There being nothing further on this committee agenda, we will stand adjourned. Where is the food for council being served?
Upstairs, conference room.
The big one?
Yep.
It was turning into a...
Hey, y'all have a good day.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
All right, I gotta clean up here.
You're welcome. Y'all have a good day.
Grab your food.
Brad Morrison Unmasked. It could be the title of a TV show or something.
Wait, what would Zora do?
I know. He would be confused.
You know what I would? I hate, I don't like this stuff touching me. Thank you, Nancy. I just need one.
Brad, would you like that?
Yes, I'll use one.
One or more?
One.
So we just need to coordinate. You're doing up there.
I'm doing up here.
Okay. So that's that, and we have to do also, you know, the microphone.
And the microphone.
Thank you.
Amanda gave you...
I'll do that one last.
Amanda gave you a file, Eric?
Yes.
I have this. Is it in the presentation or... She said she does want it in the presentation. Is that correct or?
That's correct.
Say that again.
Slide number four.
This one.
Yeah.
And is that a slide that's somewhere else?
Yes. Okay. She put that one in the SharePoint folder.
And she doesn't want this.
Correct.
Okay. Removing it.
Yeah.
So this is this move.
I don't know. Did anyone sit over here, Kathy?
Can't I?
I don't believe so. I think
that thing's got to be
shattered.
This
laptop is that.
I know, right?
Eric, no.
No.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Jeff,
I think your glasses. I'll do that. Don't worry.
They are.
Do you have all this?
Not to worry.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to start getting chairs. Do you want some help getting those?
No.
Once I get mine, I'll be more than happy. And I know y'all kind of.
I agree.
Thank you.
No.
Hi, Karen.
And I don't know how to move the audio.
Christine, these were in there, so I'm thinking they're clean. You asked, these were in there, so we don't.
It was horrid, man.
We cleaned them out from yesterday.
Give me something to eat over there. That's what I'm going to do.
We don't need to clean them. Okay.
Woo!
Rushing to get done.
I know, right?
All right, babe.
Look at you. You're so elegant when you do that.
Well, you know, I got plenty of practice.
I said the gavel.
Yeah. Got it? You know, I've never used that gavel.
Let's see. You've never used it?
And I said it, I'll never do that. You got more?
Let's see. Let's swap all these down.